This morning, this month, we have our theme is Christian Liberty. And my topic was Christian Confrontation. And this has to do with the text from Galatians chapter 2, verse 11 through verse 14, concerning the Apostle Paul and the Apostle Peter. As part of the introduction, I'd like to read verses 1 through 10 to begin with, kind of give us an idea of the background concerning this event between these two apostles. There the Bible says, beginning in chapter 2 and verse 1, says, "Then after 14 years I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, and also took Titus with me. And I went up by revelation and communicated to them the gospel which I preached among the Gentiles, but privately to those who were of reputation, lest by any means I might run or had run in vain. Yet not even Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And this occurred because of false brethren secretly brought in, who came in by stealth to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we did not yield submission even for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But for those who seem to be something, whatever they were, it makes no difference to me. God shows personal favoritism to no man. For those who seem to be something added nothing to me. But on the contrary, when they saw that the gospel for the uncircumcised had been committed to me, as the gospel for the circumcised was to Peter. For he who worked effectively in Peter for the apostleship to the circumcised also worked effectively in me toward the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that had been given to me, they gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. They desired only that we should remember the poor, the very thing which I was also eager to do." So from this reading, the Apostle Paul has described how he went to Jerusalem in defense of the truth of the gospel. God called him by revelation to go there and to set forth to those of reputation or to those who seemed to be something, the gospel. He was proclaiming to the Gentiles. Paul also took Titus with him, who was an uncircumcised Gentile. He became a Christian and he remained uncircumcised. The gospel Paul preached and the gospel the apostles of those of reputation in Jerusalem preached were the same message. The problem was that there were false brothers who secretly slipped in, it says, trying to bring them back into bondage to the law of Moses. No one yielded for a moment to this false gospel. So everything at this point seemed very good. But it wasn't. There was another issue that could arise, and it did arise in the first century church regarding the gospel. What we learn here is that it is one thing to agree with the gospel message, but it is another thing to live according to that gospel message. We know the truth of the gospel, but the question is, will we live in the truth of the gospel? This is the issue that the Apostle Paul must deal with next. Now from our text, beginning in verse 11, it says, "Now when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face, because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles, but when they came, he withdrew and he separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, if you, being a Jew, live in the manner of Gentiles and not as Jews, Why do you compel the Gentiles to live as Jews? Let us go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. As we go through our lesson this morning, I want you to notice this phrase, the truth of the gospel, and how many times it is used in this study. To begin with, the Apostle Paul tells about something that happened to show how he was defending the truth of the gospel. When Peter came to Antioch, Paul had to confront him because the Bible says that Peter stood condemned. This is a very, very unusual situation. One apostle had to confront another apostle. And the reason is because one of the apostles, the Apostle Peter, of all people, stood condemned. This statement should settle once and for all the idea that the apostles were infallible. Peter has made such a mistake that it became necessary for the Apostle Paul to confront him. And verse 12 says that Peter had been eating with the Gentiles, as he should have been. The picture is that Peter didn't care about the kinds of food the Gentiles were eating. Peter is eating these unclean foods right along with them. The references pointed out that in ancient Near Eastern society, eating together was a very powerful symbol of acceptance and fellowship. And we have the appearance of this ideal even in our society today, but it was even stronger back then. So Peter is doing the right thing and living his life according to the truth of the gospel. There is no returning to the law of Moses for any of its commandments, for its regulations, or for its ceremonies. But a problem arose when certain men from James, the Bible says. The James that this would be referring to, the reference indicated was James, the brother of Jesus, one of the pillars of the church in Jerusalem. We saw his name mentioned in verse 9. We learn from verse 9 that James agrees with the truth of the gospel, along with Paul, Peter, and John. We see this also in Acts chapter 15, verse 13 through 21, where James at the Jerusalem council declared that the prophets agreed that the Gentiles are not under the law of Moses and are not to be troubled by telling them to keep those ceremonies or customs. So, we know that James is not the problem. But certain men, it says, came from James. And in verse 4, the Apostle Paul says that false brothers had secretly slipped in. And it seems it was some of these that came from James to Antioch to cause trouble. So when these men came, because of fear, Peter drew back and he separated himself from the Gentile Christians. He no longer ate with them or associated with them. And now we see the worst thing about hypocrisy. The influence that it has on others. Not only did Peter do this, but the other Jewish Christians also followed Peter's actions, so much so that even Barnabas was carried away to this hypocrisy. Why would they do this? Why would they act hypocritically? They all knew and agreed concerning the truth of the gospel. It wasn't that they were misinformed. Not only is Peter included in those who agreed with the truth of the gospel, but Peter was, he was the one who ate with Cornelius in his household after he received his vision from the Lord in Acts chapter 10. Peter was questioned by the Jewish Christians concerning this, concerning his eating and meeting with Cornelius. But Peter defended his actions to them. In Acts 11, verse 2 through verse 18, he tells them that he had received the vision from the Lord and why he had gone to Cornelius and why he had done what he did concerning the Gentiles. So what caused him to play the hypocrite at this point? Verse 12 says, "For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. That is, he fears the Jewish Christians who are claiming the need for the Gentile Christians to keep the law of Moses and to be circumcised to be saved. The rest of the Jewish Christians also fell into this fear, and it says even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. They are afraid of what these men are going to say. They are under pressure to compromise the truth of the gospel and are going to do this because of Peter and because of fear. Peer pressure never ends. It is good to learn to deal with peer pressure when we are young, because even as adults, people try to use this approval or disapproval to manipulate us to do things that we shouldn't do. No one is above falling into error. No one is above caving in to this pressure. Living the truth of the gospel. It is one thing to know the gospel, and it is another thing to live in the truth of the gospel. And this is exactly the problem that the Apostle Paul identifies in this situation. Peter's conduct was no longer in line with the truth of the gospel. Living a Christian life is a continual self-examination process. An examination of ourselves and the scriptures being our standard and not other people. It is our responsibility to bring our lives in conformity with the scriptures. Our thinking, our feelings, and our behavior must be brought into line with the truth of the gospel. Peter knew the truth of the gospel, but his actions did not conform to that truth. Instead, he submitted to the fear of what these men might do or what they might say. Peter wanted to conform to these men instead of live in conformity to the truth of the gospel. Peter didn't realize that by believing in the truth of the gospel but not living according to the truth of the gospel caused the gospel to be denied. Even the obligation of these food laws from the law of Moses had the same denial of the gospel as if it were required the Gentile Christians to be circumcised. So if the law of Moses had been set aside and fulfilled in Jesus, as Paul and Peter agreed, then going back to the aspect of the law of Moses, no matter how small or how trivial its commandments were, it was a denial to the gospel message. Today we have the truth of the gospel, and if we add to, or if we take away from it, we have denied the gospel. This is the another gospel that's spoken of in Galatians by the Apostle Paul. Although there is no other gospel, there is only one. Paul says, he said to Peter before them all, if you being a Jew live in the manner of Gentiles and not as the Jews, why do you compel the Gentiles to live as Jews? Why did Paul say this in front of everyone? Why not take Peter aside without anyone watching and ask him, what's going on? The reason is because Peter's actions had caused the others to be and to act hypocritically. His public sin before the Christians in Antioch required public confrontation before these same people so that the truth of the gospel would be preserved before them as well. Public confrontation is needed for public sin. In 1 Timothy 5, verse 19 and verse 20, it says, do not receive an accusation against an elder except from two or three witnesses. Those who are sinning rebuke in the presence of all, that the rest also may fear. Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 18 that those that refuse to repent of sin must be taken before the church, Paul taught the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 that those that were engaged in unrepentant sin were to be marked and withdrawn from. It can be uncomfortable, but there are times when there must be a public stand against sin. When that person sinned, and especially when that person sinned causes others to stumble. This is why Paul uses the image to the Corinthians. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? It's 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 6. In conclusion, what are some of the lessons we learn from this event of the Apostle Paul and the Apostle Peter? First of all, we note the courage that was manifested by the Apostle Paul in Jerusalem and in Antioch. He refused to concede to the pressure by the false brethren. He stood alone while his closest brethren were led astray. And we see his courage as he rebuked a respected brother in Christ. Paul's courage was motivated by his faithfulness. Faithfulness to the Lord whom he served, and faithfulness to the truth of the gospel, of which he is not ashamed. Next, we note the humility of Peter. The humility manifested by Peter in his last epistle, not holding a grudge against Paul for his public rebuke, willing to publicly acknowledge Paul's wisdom given by inspiration. Peter's humility was motivated by his love for a brother in Christ, a love that is consistent with what he himself had taught others. In 1 Peter 3, verse 8, it says, "Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous." And in verse 9, "Not returning evil for evil or reveling for reveling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to do this, that you may inherit a blessing." So living for Christ means a continual realignment of our lives to His Word. We may come under pressure to turn away from the truth of the gospel to follow others. We may come under pressure to conform to the way others are doing things. But we must not give in to the pressure to conform to the way of others just for the sake of appeasement. Paul and the apostles could have said, "What's the big deal? Just get circumcised so there will be no more trouble." Many innovations have crept into the church because of this attitude. Paul understood that this would not work. We cannot create our own rules and bind them on ourselves and on others. It is unfortunate, but many will cave in rather than stand for the truth of the gospel. Another part of our continual realignment is the need to always lay our lives alongside the truth of the gospel to see how we measure up. Everything in our lives must be brought under submission to Jesus Christ. This means a constant checking of our heart, our beliefs, and our actions. If Peter can fall, anyone can fall. We are never so strong so as to not be able to fall. This morning, if there is anyone subject to the gospel call, we will be to come as we stand and sing.